About CERN with Anthony Patch. Visit his website, anthonypatch.com. This segment is brought to you by AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Go to for all your survival and food preparation needs.
Yeah, Joe, before you jump in, I just want to say this. We have listeners from the UK, a number of listeners from the UK. I want to say welcome and thank you for tuning in, especially tonight, to hear Anthony Patch and to listen to this very important information. Joanne, don't worry about it. Talking to you. You know, so many people, folks, it is a minefield of misinformation out there. And when we hear things or see things like these videos and, oh, you know, what's the right? What is the correct? Is this real? I mean, today, folks, today, you can only believe half of what you see out there, especially when it's on the internet. And understand that there are people out there to intentionally deceive you. So, Joanne, we love you. Don't beat yourself up over anything. You've got nothing to beat yourself up over. And others as well who said, you know, I wonder if this is something to it. Joe, go ahead. I just wanted to talk to Joanne there for a second. So, Joanna.
So. We were talking about the key to the bottomless pit as described in Revelation 9:1 and what could be released, the Awake experiment, the combining of the two machines at CERN, and the encryption key, the 4096 D-Wave encryption key in the first hour. And Anthony, I'm going to turn it over to you in this hour number two and let you take it where you will.
Yeah, well, thank you again. The combining of the machines is resulting, as we said, in power levels up into the quadrillions. So just to give that a little bit of perspective, back in October of last year, CERN was operating at a different power level in the trillions called tera electron volts. And presently, they're still operating at approximately 13 tera electron volts as they were back in October. But I bring up October because it was at that time that I announced that CERN, the ring-based collider, actually had the capability of hitting into the quadrillions, moving from tera electron volts into peta electron volts. And I stated that I believed that before the end of last year they would hit 1.15 quadrillion peta electron volts. And CERN, 3 weeks later, came out with a press release saying, yes, we did have a spike. We did hit 1.14 peta electron volts. Now, the reason that I bring that up is so that you understand the machine has a higher capacity for power than what they are operating at right now with the one machine. When they go and combine both machines, as I said earlier, they're going to achieve a 1,000-fold increase. They're going to move to 20 peta electron volts. Now, that's something that even 10 years ago was really just science fiction for the physicists themselves. But it's the advent of this linear accelerator and the use of plasma technology that it allows them to achieve the power level they need for opening this portal. Now, part of what I also want to reveal is the new name. When they combine these two machines, it's going to be called the very... I might back up just a little bit here. It's the VHEEP. And this is the very high energy electron proton accelerator. Now, that's a mouthful, and they probably, you know, you won't hear many people using that name. But in the world of physics, that's what it's really called, is the VHEEP. And it isn't necessary for people to know that, but I just want people to understand that I am doing the research within their own world and extracting that and presenting it to you as fact. So that's one aspect of it. The other part that we can move into, since you did bring up this video and people are worried about, you know, is this real? Is this factual? Is this all made up? And as I said, that particular incident, you know, supposed occult ceremony or ritual was really nonsense. But the Goddard Tunnel ceremony was purely satanic. And we can break that down a little if you want. But the one that I'd like to step into that's on my website that you're following along with me is the Mandela portals, because that's really out there in the popular, you know, conversation and has been for about 3 months now.
Okay.
So that'll lead us into some quotes from D-Wave Corporation, and then it will show the relevance of the quantum computer to D-Wave again, or from D-Wave to the Large Hadron Collider, but it's really going to show you their thinking, their motivations for building that quantum computer that are parallel to the motivations at CERN. The crossovers are profound. So I'm going to let you make comment, and then we'll kind of jump into this.
Well, okay. The comments, well, the only comment I have, I suppose, would be a prelude to the, in your, on your website, which you have Mandela portals, alright? So, the only comment I have on this is we dedicated a segment of one of the programs to the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, now, Mr. Patch, if you want, well, go ahead and because we are talking essentially about the Mandela effect, but in the context of something a little bit larger. Without trying to explain it perhaps the way you could, you go ahead and what are we talking here when we talk about Mandela effect, Mandela portals, and the video which you have linked there off of your page?
Yeah, the Mandela effect, as most people have seen or experienced or heard about, are, you know, the changes to things in popular culture as well as in the Bible. I call it the Mandela portal because that goes to really the source of the effects. Where are these effects coming from? Specifically, they're coming from quantum portals that are being opened by the D-Wave computer. Now, the video that's linked in there, and I've got some quotes that I've written on my Urgent Discoveries page, are the chief technology officer from D-Wave, Gordy Rose. So I'm not speaking out of turn. I'm simply citing what D-Wave is talking about. They are talking about parallel universes. They are talking about opening portals at the quantum level. In fact, that is at the heart of how the quantum computer operates in the quantum world. It operates interdimensionally. They use a programming process called combinatorial optimization, which means they take all known possible solutions and they take those in a combination and they program that through an interface, through the computer, utilizing quantum tunneling, and I have that on the page as well. I explain quantum tunneling. But in short, they are inserting a question with the possible solutions into another dimension, actually thousands of dimensions, and from those dimensions, they're extracting the solution or the answer. What they're extracting when they open these portals, we are seeing manifest as these changes known as Mandela effects. They are coming through the Mandela portals, as I call them. So I'm going to let you jump in because I hate to dominate this, but I can add to it. But if you want to chew on that a little bit.
Okay. Now we have people that will tell us, look, we get emails like this all the time. Words in my Bible have been changed. Okay. Or very popular example, the Berenstein Bears. That never was the Berenstein Bears. It was Berenstein, and or whatever the case, mm-hmm. whatever the example. Okay. And now, looking at this, we understand the deception that's out there. We understand the level of and depth of deception, and the multi-layered deceptions. But what are you saying? I mean, I don't personally believe, because we did address this, I don't believe, for example, that the Mandela effect actually, now this is just me, and I'm a hard sell, so if you got something different, you go ahead. But I personally do not believe that either words in my Bible or words written in the books that I've got have been changed from the time I last read them. What say you about this?
Well, I'm in agreement with you insofar as the changes, because I have multiple copies of Bible, and in some of those copies the words are different. They are changed from my recollection of them.
Right.
However, what I will sidestep and say is, don't focus on whether the changes are real or not, just like you mentioned at the top of the show, Schrodinger's cat.
Bingo. Right.
We open the box to look at the cause and effect. It isn't whether there's a cat in the box and whether the cat's alive or dead. It's not the issue, whether the words have been changed or not. The bigger issue is we're being played.
What I mean by that,
there's a grander psychological operation at play here, and we'll get into that in more detail. But the point is, we are being observed. We're rats in a maze. This is a process of observing the pebble in the pond. If I claim to have changed the scripture, what will be the reaction of people that become aware of that supposed change? Whether the change took place or not, if I put out into the public consciousness the perception of a change, how does that play out in terms of human behavior? This is the modeling of human behavior. This is the building of algorithms for the self-learning, the self-teaching of the artificially intelligent, sentient computer built by D-Wave. They have one model, the 2048, came out last year, and now the 4096. Both of these are sentient. Both of them are artificially intelligent, self-learning, and they need algorithms to learn. They are building algorithms of how people around the world respond to inputs into our reality. This Mandela effect through the portals is just the tip of the iceberg. There are thousands of changes that have been occurring to our reality caused by the accessing of this computer to thousands of interdimensional portals. And I'll back that up with some quotes from Gordy Rose from D-Wave. People can go to my site and look at them, but I'm going to let you jump in.
Well, folks, what Mr. Patch just said is perhaps one of the most important, in my estimation, one of the most important keys, pardon the pun there, keys to understanding really the bigger picture of what is going on all around us. And as Mr. Patch said, we are being played, and our reactions are being mapped out. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like maybe Jade Helm mapping the human domain to take it down to a microcosmic level relative to what we're talking about, perhaps? So, and the only other thing I'd have to say is, doesn't Anthony Patch remind you of the guy on the show Numbers about 10 years ago, or however long it was? Very, very popular show, Numbers, on syndicated television or network television. The guy that would, it was, again, a very popular show, but the guy that had all of these great equations, and he'd end up throwing out like a handful of paper clips on the floor to illustrate a point. To me, that's Anthony Patch. And you know, he makes the complex sound simple to us. And it takes a very intelligent mind to do that. And I want to thank you for that. But go ahead and continue. This is fascinating.
Well, good. I'm glad it is. And thank you for your kind words. If you'll scroll down, and those that perhaps are following along at my website, scroll down to the very bottom where it says Inside PsyOps. And we'll come back to Gordy Rose and some of the quotes from the video in a moment. But I think it's germane to what you're talking about here, because I really think in the bigger picture, if we understand not only the psychological operation of behavioral modeling relative to the Mandela effects, but let's go to something even bigger. And you may have run into this. You had your promo going about Stained by Blood, and I will definitely get a copy of that. But you mentioned in the promo mind control, and that's really what we're talking about here. And there's a program, and there's two links on my website. There's a program called the Sentient World Simulation. That's SWS. This is the program, this is the system that is employed, and this comes right out of Purdue University, and it's tied in with D-Wave. This is the system that was involved with Jade Helm. So when people talk about, well, there was an artificially intelligent computer, a sentient computer that was involved, this is the system that that computer employed to look at how people responded to inputs into their environment. They call it granular. There's a macro-granular effect and a fine-grained effect, which is personal and individual. The point is that within a computer, a sentient computer, they're creating a copy of our world, a mirror. And again, it sounds like science fiction, but this has been running since 2006. And it's run by Department of Defense, NSA, etc. And this is a continual program. It's running 24/7. And it is a simulation of our world in which they're able to put in certain types of stimuli and then run it through and crunch the numbers to predict the future behavior of people. This goes right back to one of the foundational goals for building the D-Wave computers. And I'll give you a very quick example of that. It was for predicting the stock markets and the commodity markets for the purpose of profiting from it.
Why doesn't that surprise me? Why else would... Of course. Go ahead.
You want me to continue?
Oh, please. Yeah. I mean, it all makes sense.
Too.
You know, it all makes sense. We. Why else would somebody go to all this trouble? Go ahead.
Okay. So those were proof of concepts. I mean, it wasn't necessarily that they wanted to dominate the trading markets, but it was a proof of concept to see if they were on the right track with the development of this computer system. The whole point here of the SWS, the Sentient World Simulation, is exactly what I said. It is to create a mirror of our world, and then within the world, there are over 7 billion people. They represent each person on the planet as a node, and they replace that node and the name of that node, that person's name, with an avatar, and they call that an avatar agent. They track the behavior, but they also predict the behavior of each one of those avatars. So they can affect the world economically, they can do it militarily, right down the line. Any aspect of our world, they can, in the computer version, predict the outcome and the behavior of people, and then bring that into our, if you want to call it our analog world, bring those cause and effects, that plan, that strategy and tactics back into our world and implement them. That was one of the reasons for Jade Helm.
Man, it all makes sense. And I chuckle at those who say, well, Jade Helm, you know, it was a popular subject among the people who wanted to fearmonger.
But nothing happened.
But nothing happened. You know, see, look around. But those, and I don't want to be mean or just disparaging, but when we have to look at the bigger picture here, because the game is, well, the game, I don't even like to use that term, but what we're seeing take place is something on a much larger scale than anyone has really comprehended so far, or at least outside of Mr. Patch and a precious few others really understand. So this is all, I mean, this is all making sense now. Now it's starting to make sense. So those people who, with smaller intellects, and again, I don't, maybe intellects is not the right word, we have to think bigger. Folks, look at the bigger picture.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but we need to look at the bigger picture all the time and understand the what's at stake here is much bigger than what anyone has really addressed to this point. So, okay. This is
good.
Let's
think about it in terms of chess.
Uh-huh.
If you don't understand the game of chess, if you don't even realize there's a board and pieces on the board, you can't even begin to understand the game. What I'm hoping to do here is to say, here's the name of the game, and here's the board, and here are the pieces. The name of the game is SWS, sentient, which means self-aware, that's the computer, world simulation, simulating our world, a mirror. And the pieces on it, one of the big components, is the D-Wave computer, which is tied into CERN, which both have the same goal of opening interdimensional gateways. D-Wave does it on a continual basis with their small portals that only last for picoseconds, all the way to the macro scale with the Large Hadron Collider and the Awake Accelerator, the VHEEP, where they're going to open a macro portal. So we're talking about the same thing, the same game, the same chessboard.
But I think you take it to a new level because we're talking about, you know, the 3D chess. Actually, we're talking about three-dimensional chess because, you know, once more, we're looking at the bigger picture. This is for all the marbles that were. I mean, these people are playing for all the marbles. You're talking about this quest for immortality. Apotheosis, perhaps, you know, godlike qualities, which, as Joe said earlier, nothing new under the sun. This is what was being strived for.
Yeah,
you know, in Babylon.
Maybe I can put it in a more tangible description. When we think about using a search engine, if we use Google, and we put in keywords and phrases, that's a linear search. That's just kind of straight line thinking, point A to point B. And that's a very pedestrian way of looking at information, at data. What the SWS does is what I call a spherical search. Rather than straight line, it's a 360 degree look at information. It looks at the context, the semantics of that, the meaning of that data, and it looks at the sources of it and the time relevance of that data. What I mean is exactly what you said, three-dimensional chess. We're talking about a system that looks at information rather than in a linear fashion, cause and effect. It's looking at it three-dimensionally, spherically, so that it sees all permutations, all possible causes and effects. When you insert a stimuli is a simple way of me describing what they're doing.
Interesting. Should we be paying attention, before we get too far away from this, the model 2048-4096, I notice it's exactly double.
Yes.
Should we be paying attention to these numbers? Should we be paying attention to the significance, perhaps, of these numbers? Kind of revisiting something we touched on earlier.
Well, I think that significance has to do with their relationship to the number of bits that it takes to create and crack a code, as I said earlier. So really, these are coding machines. These quantum computers are really crunching numbers as a deciphering machine, kind of like what was the German cipher machine?
Yeah.
I put you on the spot. I forget myself.
No, I know what you're talking. And somebody out there is going to say, "Oh, yeah. I know it's." And then you know, and our
anyway.
Studio audience is quiet right now. So,
yeah, no,
right.
they'll correct us. Anyway, we've got a lot we're trying to get in here, but it is. It's really a coding system. The numbers aren't necessarily germane to us in our everyday experience.
Okay.
They only are if you're looking at. You know, how the machine operates to break codes, but it does have another relevance, and that is to the number of dimensions. And I think that's perhaps where you're going with your question. The number of parallel universes, as Jordy Rose calls them in his discussion, again, it's in the video that I have here, but let's use that to segue right into some of the quotes that I have on my website from Jordy.
Sure.
Let's start with at 12:14 mark in the video. He talks about how the machine is cooled, and they use what are known as pulse tube dilation refrigerators. Again, a crossover to CERN. CERN are superconducting magnets that are cooled to temperatures lower, almost to absolute zero, colder than outer space. Even Gordy Rose says that their qubits, their computer, is cooled in a similar fashion to 100 times colder than interstellar space, as he calls it. But he said these pulse tube dilation refrigerators, when you stand next to the black cube enclosure of the computer, it sounds eerily like a heartbeat because it beats once per minute. Now, a few moments later, he says, when you're standing next to this and listening to the heartbeat, it feels like an altar to an alien god. Now, I ask you, what scientist, what computer nerd, if you will, ever uses an analogy of an alien god?
Man,
it's the first time I heard it.
Anthony, stay right there. Folks, stay right where you're at. We're talking with Anthony Patch, anthonypatch.com. Go there now and go to Urgent Discoveries, that section, and follow along. You're right. By the way, Enigma, thank you.
Enigma machine, thank you. There you go. Alan Turin.
Right there, that's right. Stay right where you're at. Anthony Patch from anthonypatch.com. That's who we're talking to right now. SWS. That's right. The key to everything, basically. I mean, this is so interesting in my view. You know, we're talking about CERN, but much more than that. We're talking about how we are being gamed, how we're being conditioned, how we're being programmed, what the bigger picture is, what no one else is talking about, except right here on the Hagman Report, Hagman and Hagman Report, right here. This is what we're talking about. And we are looking at we're so grateful to have Anthony Patch come on and explain to us what we are seeing the long-term goals are of CERN. And of course, before we broke here, Mr. Patch was quoting Geordie Rose. Sounds like a heartbeat. Feels like we're praying at the altar of an alien god. What kind of scientist says that? Under what conditions? And of course, so much more. And again, we're blessed to have Anthony Patch from anthonypatch.com on with us. Bookmark that website. Follow along with us. Go to anthonypatch.com under Urgent Discoveries. There we're kind of shotgunning a few things, but nonetheless getting it accomplished. Anthony, thanks for holding over with us. You pick up right where you left off. It was kind of a unceremoniously abrupt cut here at the last hour, but go ahead and pick up from here.
Yeah, I think when we hear someone who is addressing an audience of scientists and they start venturing into the world of an alien god, it begins to trigger in my mind thoughts of Tesla and others that have openly stated that they were communing and channeling from the other side information and technologies to advance, you know, mankind. And what we talked about earlier, you brought up, you know, the forbidden knowledge from the fallen angels. This is what we're talking about. I think if you look at his statement about an alien god and really unfold that I really believe what he's saying is that we're getting information through these portals, these parallel universes that he speaks of, and I'll give you a number in a moment, that they are actually, they know full well that they're channeling information from aliens. Now, you can define aliens as, you know, little grays or whatever you want, but in my context, and I think you share this with me, these are evil, demonic forces, entities, spirits, whatever you want to call it, but it's no good. They're not talking to God. They're talking to false gods, and that can't be good for us. And yet, that's what they're openly telling us when they say it feels like an altar to an alien god. Why use the word altar? I'll throw that out at you.
Why indeed? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, look at the black cube, okay? It's housed in a black cube. We've seen the black cube in occult societies, the Illuminati all the way along. You see it in, the Muslim world. You see it at Mecca. Oh, yeah. You see even the references to Saturn, which is also Satan, and the black cube within that, and the black cube at the northern pole is represented by, you know, a hexagon. So we're talking about them praying to whoever it is they're communing with on the other side.
Hmm. Now that puts things in a different light and perspective when you're making reference to the quotes. Go ahead, continue.
Because, I mean, we're talking about pure science, and now we're stepping over into the world of the spiritual. And I have said many times, even on your shows, I've said you cannot separate the physical world from the spiritual. They're both interconnected. It's how you relate to those, how you communicate with those, and what your belief system is that's important. But let's move a little bit further along in the quotes. He talks about parallel universes. Again, we're talking about interdimensional portals and gateways that they're opening using this computer, using qubits. He says that the value of a qubit is the only thing different in a parallel universe. What that means is when they're inserting information through their qubits into a parallel universe, they're changing that universe. They're modifying it. They say that he says, parallel universes have a nexus. And this is what I claim as the starting point. The nexus is the starting point for the Mandela effect. This is where the crossovers, the interconnections of parallel universes take place. Another quote, he says, and when you increase the number of these devices, every time you add one of these qubits, you double the number of parallel universes that you access until such time you get a chip like this. And he's pointing to, in the video, the model 512, he says, which is about 500 of these bits. Again, we're talking about bits, we're talking about coding, we're talking about qubits. They all are the same thing. He says that there are something like 2 to the 500th power of these guys living in that chip. In other words, what he's saying is 2 to the 500th power parallel universes that they're accessing using this computer. Now, that's only the 512 model. I'm going to stop here in a second, and we're going to go to the higher numbers in just a second. Go ahead.
Well, I think one question, and I'm trying to anticipate when people are listening to this, what their questions might be. Now, you said a lot here. The only difference with the parallel universe would be, what was that again?
When they insert their questions, their combinatorial optimization problem into another universe, they're affecting it. They're changing that by extracting from it what I'm going to get to in a second. He says,
okay,
extracting resources from. They're affecting those other universes the same way as when we receive that information from that universe, it's affecting our universe.
Okay. And maybe this is a really, maybe I'm not asking the right question. but these other universes, these parallel universes, are, number one, are they infinite? Number two, what do they look like relative to what we know, our perception of our universe? And I guess it doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah, I don't have an answer as to what they look like. I can only surmise that they are different than ours, and different because they are forbidden to us, and that we are not supposed to be accessing these parallel universes. It's been forbidden all the way back to the Tower of Babel, as we said before, using information that we're not supposed to be privy to.
Gotcha. All right. And therein lies the, in my view, exists the real nugget. What is being done here is a, well, it's a 2016 version of what was attempted on the plains of Shinar.
Yeah, beyond the Tower of Babel.
Right. Yeah, on steroids.
So we're in uncharted territory.
Okay. And folks, AnthonyPatch.com, follow along with us, please, and definitely make a site one of your favorites, bookmark a site. We'll go ahead and continue, because this is fascinating, to be sure. So,
we have a couple of more quotes that I'd like to highlight for us. And at the 1450 mark, he says, "The shadow of these parallel worlds overlap with ours, and if we are smart enough, we can dive into them and grab their resources and pull them back into ours to make an effect in our world." So, you know, you're talking about grabbing resources and pulling it into, you know, there's a cause and effect going on here. If we're extracting resources from another dimension, we are affecting that dimension. And if we're pulling those resources, and I call them at this point solutions to problems, then it is going to affect our dimension. Now, if you get further into talking about resources, we step over again to the example of one of those cause and effects being the Mandela portals, the Mandela effects. Those are things that are coming from, those changes are coming from other dimensions, and they are having the effects that you and I are discussing tonight on the general population in the form of that psychological operation, those algorithms. One of the interesting things is, one of the questions that is posed, that is being posed into these other dimensions, is what will make the biggest impact on the human psyche? What pebbles should we pull out as resources and throw into the pond of this analog environment here? And what will cause the biggest ripple effect that are obvious, that we can then generate our initial elementary algorithms as to tracking human behavior, that we can then progress to more complex algorithms, and more finely, what they call a granular level, more finely predict individual behavior at that individual level. So, to encapsulate that, they are pulling back answers from other dimensions of what pebbles should we throw in the pond to cause what effects. And then I'll stop there and we'll go on a little further.
Yeah, can you repeat that? No, I'm kidding. Wow.
Pebbles in the pond.
Okay. Pebbles in the pond, which cause ripples. And so we're looking at a cause and effect kind of situation here. But in effect with unknowns, right? We don't know. They don't know.
No.
The unintended consequences that this could cause.
That is correct. In the early stages with D-Wave, they were actually extracting, along with solutions, they were getting back 110% more energy into this dimension than what they were sending into the other dimension. So it's not just digital solutions. It's actual energy that is coming in the form of resources into our world. Now, you won't see that talked about with D-Wave anymore. This goes back to 2008, I believe, is when I read this, coming right out of their own literature. And that just gives you an idea of how I do my research. I always go back into history, because historically they were not as concerned about covering up their future goals. What I'm seeing now is the playing out of what they were predicting and what they were setting up as goals and objectives historically. And I look at the historical documents, their actual published documents, and then take those forward to the present time and go, bingo. They've achieved what they wanted, what they set out to achieve.
Past this prologue.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
And you're an investigator. You understand this.
Hmm. Don't give me too much credit here. When we enter into Anthony Patch territory, we're talking with Anthony Patch, anthonypatch.com, linked off of Hagman and Hagman.com, folks. This is definitely one for the record books tonight. You're going to want to share this interview with everyone you know, because we are talking about, believe it or not, as you pull back away from the mind-bending stuff here, I think you can see that we're talking about the playbook of the demonic Luciferian elite. So,
mm-hmm.
All right. We're just gonna let you keep going, man. I mean, this is all good. This is all good. We're cruising now.
Okay. So they're pulling resources out of other dimensions, and that's the mechanism of the computer. When we talk about operating in the quantum realm, we're talking about working interdimensionally. And what they're using is called, as a mechanism, is quantum tunneling. I won't spend a lot of time on that. It's on my website on this page that we're going through. But I want to step over just sideways a little bit back to the game, because in particle physics research, they use a statistical system of analysis of number crunching called the Monte Carlo method. Basically, the Monte Carlo method is what they use to predict what particles will result from these massive collisions within the colliders. They also are using the Monte Carlo method psychologically to predict when we throw a pebble in the pond, a pebble that we get from another dimension, as a suggested stimuli to put into our matrix, if you will. They use the Monte Carlo method to predict human reactions, human behavior to that stimulus. So on my webpage there, I have a photograph from CERN of a physicist, and he's seated in his office, and he has two cards. One says Bond, number one, and the other one says Mandela. Now, if you translate this evidence, these hints, it means that we're going to use a game called the Mandela effect on people, and we're going to utilize the Monte Carlo method, okay, which is like a card game. Do you remember the name of the Bond movie that involved the card game?
Casino Royale.
Bingo.
Right?
Bingo.
Yeah.
The Bond reference in the photograph is Casino Royale, which crosses over to Monte Carlo, which then is the Mandela effect as a psychological operation that is being played on us. And there's your crossover back to CERN. It's not just about colliding particles. It's about manipulating this environment, this dimension. CERN not only wants to open the portal, but they want to terraform. And you've heard me say this on your show before. They want to terraform this environment, this dimension. And specifically, I talked before about terraforming the planet, that the magnets of the collider were causing earthquakes and volcanic activity and changes to Earth's magnetosphere, taking down our shields. All of that stuff, but also dimensional changes. Go ahead.
No, this is interesting. And by the way, if I can just remind people that the house always wins. Okay. Keep that in mind. But what you're referencing, and as you point out on your website, anthonypatch.com, the Monte Carlo system in applied statistics is the method used in building these specific algorithms, predictive analysis of patterns and trends. And think about that, ladies and gentlemen. The analysis of pattern and trends. Are we not seeing this played out in the real world when, you know, Anthony, if I can lower the IQ of this specific episode.
Bring it down to my level.
Bring it down a few points. No. Bring it down a few points by saying we see this take place, for example, in the political theater, especially today, how we are being gamed. Well, look, oh, Trump is behind. Trump is ahead. Trump, Hillary is this. Hillary, the predictive analysis of patterns and trends, they're actually creating these trends, are they not? They're creating these specific environments.
Look at civil strife in this country and around the world, but focusing on our country for a moment, the U.S., because we do have worldwide listeners. In the U.S., you see the civil strife not only just in the political arena between, you know, candidates, but we see it in our cities. And you opened the show talking about that. And that's why I say this is relevant to today and to exactly to tomorrow, the very next day. I'm not talking about distant future. The game is to create the civil strife. That civil strife is a psychological operation, no different than the Mandela effect. We are being played. They are inciting riots. They are inciting the black-white conflict. They are inciting all of this because they want to, as you well know, let's talk about Georgia Guidestones. I mean, I'm jumping around here, but they want to reduce the world's population down to 500 million people and create a serf class of slaves to serve the elite. Now, this isn't, you know, conspiracy theory. This is, you know, Agenda 21. You can go down the list of the things that we've seen in written publications that specifically cite how they want to institute this one world government, get rid of national and individual sovereignty, and have a one world leader. So set up the strife so people will then say, who's the answer? Who can we turn to as the leader with all the answers? That's the game.
Bingo. That is indeed the game. And folks, you're listening to Anthony Patch. We are so blessed to have him tonight, talking about CERN. Well, more than CERN. Cause for concern. We must discern. Oh, stop me. Stop me. But anyway. But see, folks, while the, and I, the way I look at it is, just forgive me and permit me just to digress just a tad here for a moment, because I do want to sing your praises. I look at your work and I look at how it applies to current events, Anthony Patch, and I think, you know, if everyone was, if the talk show hosts out there, the big talkers, you know, the people who get paid gazillions of dollars and have supposedly gazillions of listeners, if they would be talking about this very, very subject here, the world would be a lot different place, because they would, a lot of people would say, wait a minute, yeah, we are being gamed here. And wait a second, the stakes are higher than who's going to take the nomination, or who's going to take the presidency in November here in the United States, or the picture is much bigger. And you do so well in connecting those dots, and I want to thank you for that. Just a little bit of a digression there, but so when we talk about CERN, you know, and when Anthony Patches are talking about CERN, understand that we're talking not just about the facility or the events, but we're talking about the application thereof and what it all means. So this is such a great topic, and I won't take away any more of your time from your discussion here, but people just understand how big, what a big deal this is. What a big deal. So, okay, in the 4 minutes here we've got remaining to the top, take us home to the top here, Anthony.
Well, I really would encourage people to you know, do some of their own research. One of the things that I really, let's say, preach, besides asking and pleading for people, you know, to turn to God, turn to Jesus Christ, become imparted by the Holy Spirit to give you the eyes and the ears to see and to hear, because that's really the only way. The only way you're going to really wrap your head around the stuff that we're talking about tonight and really see the game for what it is to have those glasses that are given to you by the Holy Spirit, to be able to look through those lenses and see things clearly. We often hear about waking people up. Well, it's not just waking up. You open your eyes, but if you can't see clearly, it doesn't matter that you're awake. You need to have the glasses on that are provided by the Holy Spirit, and that gives you the clarity, and it takes away that deception. And then you can see the chessboard. You can see the three dimensions of the chessboard instead of just two. Your perception changes. I'm nobody special. I really am not. And I appreciate you saying some nice things about me, but this is about Jesus Christ and the power that he imparts on you. And if you want to see the game, that's the direction to go and get his glasses, glasses made by Jesus Christ.
No, you're absolutely right. And sadly, you know, perception is far from reality, especially in this day and age where we have the television and just the computers and all these different things that people can throw their thoughts, opinions, suggestions out, and the psyop and the psychological warfare that we are going through will only continue to increase. And unfortunately, it is only one part of the larger psyop, which is going back to Jesus versus the times and the evil that we're in. We're being completely outmaneuvered at every step of the way, unless we are in our Bibles, unless we have that personal relationship with the Lord, and he shows us the truth. Because if we rely on our own human nature and our own perception, we will not make it in this world, and especially where we are with things to come.
If I can quote a very wise, intelligent man of integrity, if you'll allow me to do so right now, I will. He writes, "The technocratic elite, psychopaths, spiritually have been left behind." You know who said that? Anthony Patch. He wrote that. And one more. This, how appropriate, if not ironic. Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? And vanity comes along and asks the question, is it popular? But conscience ask the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. That's by Martin Luther King. And isn't that ironic for the dust that is yet to settle in North Milwaukee in the time in which we live? Both quotes by men of integrity, and of course the technocratic elite psychopaths, I love that, spiritually have been left behind. Anthony Patch, that's the man who said that. And that is our guest tonight, AnthonyPatch.com. Go to his website. Looking forward to his good read coming forth. Stay right where you're at, folks. One more hour to go.